If it hadn't changed you, it hadn't reached you. If it hadn't been a radical change, go back to the cross. Praise and glory be unto His name. So I'd like to speak to you this morning on opportunities unlimited. We have an opportunity to share Jesus every day with our life and our words, with our friends, neighbors, and co-workers. But there's a world out there beyond the boundaries of this great nation that needs the same gospel that transformed your heart and mine. And we give Him praise for the opportunity of being able to share truth, living truth with dying men. This gospel is the power of God, as our brother Charlie said this morning, a transforming power of God, and it's reaching out. We're seeing not a national revival yet, but we're seeing pockets of revival in the nation of Mexico. I've given 65 years of my life to that nation. My wife has given 60. And our children, all together, we've given somewhere, our family and their spouses have given over 180 years to world missions. And we thank God for that. Hallelujah. Praise His wonderful name. Somebody said God's greatest gifts to us are not things, but opportunities. Things are perishable. Opportunities are not always available. Lost opportunities are not always easily recovered. But thank God we can take advantage of the opportunities of today. Someone as well said we all live under the same heaven, but we don't all see the same horizon. And how true that is. We all live under the same heaven, but we don't see that out yonder beyond our borders and beyond our present involvement. We have to, heaven's in a hurry. And we need to get involved. The late Lyndon Ravenhood said, opportunity of a lifetime has to be seized in the lifetime of the opportunity. And oftentimes, if we have one opportunity to share Jesus with somebody in the street on the bus, and when we do, we find that they respond. God is looking for men and women that would reach out beyond themselves and reach out to a world in need. It's also been said we miss the golden opportunity because sometimes it comes dressed in overalls and looks like work. God is giving us seven opportunities I'd like to share with you this morning. In Mexico, we preach until we give out, and I feel fresh. When I see at least three sleeping on the same row, I usually quit. I give you the first opportunity God giving gives us today is to reassess our priorities. What motivates you? What consumes most of your time and most of your thinking, most of your activities? Just the normal activities of life, they're necessary. But are you living with eternal values? Are you living with your eyes focused beyond this world and its values? Because it'll pass. The opportunity to reassess our priorities, Paul said to the Philippians in 3:13, but this one thing I do. He said one thing, not a dozen things partially done. One thing I do, forgetting those things which are past, and reaching forward to those things which are before. I press toward the mark. I press toward the mark. I, as Brother Bob said, I'm 90 years old. And I trust that somebody said, Brother, I can't come to your 90th anniversary to you, but I will be on your 100th one. So I know there's a reward there waiting, I trust. I trust there'll be. I won't be disappointed when I stand before the Lord of Harvest. We've missed some opportunities, all of us have, but we're trying to do our best to reap as many as we can. The psalmist said in Psalms 27:4, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that one thing again, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life and behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Jesus kept it all out in Matthew 6:33 when he said, seek ye first my kingdom and all the necessary things in life will come to you. When you live to bless and you live to serve, you never live to lack. I haven't come with a sad luck story. I've had breakfast and lunch hadn't come yet, so I'm doing great. Brother Bob will buy my lunch, so I've got everything settled for the day. Praise God. You see, if you have everything but Christ, you have nothing. If you have nothing but Christ, you have everything. It's also been said, what a creature comforts, and we have many that I appreciate in this land, if Christ is absent. Or what an absent conference if God is present. The second opportunity we have is to rededicate our lives as we close out the year 2012 and enter into a new year of 2013. Jesus said, if any man come after me, universal challenge, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And where I am, there also shall my servant be. The word sacrifice and denial is almost unacceptable words in some churches, which the Bible is full of. But you see, when you cease to when your eyes vary, when your eyes stray from Jesus and his kingdom, you're changing million-dollar bank drafts for nickels in the spiritual sense. You're selling yourself short because life is too brief to live to major in the minors of life. To major in perishable things is to major in the minors of life. To major in God's kingdom, God's harvest, God's call, God's passion, God's love. Then you're beginning to live and live royally. Hallelujah. To rededicate our lives and our possessions that God has entrusted us to administer. I don't know who said this, but it's a beautiful question we all need to answer. Said, are you living for things? Are you living for worth? You see, are the things you're living for worth Christ dying for? Are the things you're living for worth Christ dying for? I think maybe Ravenhill said that. Think of it. Think of it, friend. Where's your emphasis? What is your major in life? Is it God's kingdom first? Or does he get the leftovers of our time and our resources? David reminds us in 1 Chronicles 29:14. All things come of thee, as he was praying to God, and of thine own hand we have given thee. All cometh of thine hand, it's all thine. See, we're administrators, are not owners of what we have. You don't even own the oxygen you breathe. That's on loan, and you have to take it by faith that the next breath will be goodbye world. If we don't own the oxygen we breathe, what in the world is God's people doing? Grabbing and grabbing and grabbing when there's a world that don't know Jesus. A world about us that's lost. And he said it's blood for the whole world. I'm not against having things as long as things don't have you. God promised to bless. He wants to prosper you. But not everybody seemed to be able to handle prosperity. I see a paradox, almost a contradiction. Somebody begins to tithe, and they should, and God begins to bless them. Then they have so much business, they can't meet the Wednesday night prayer meeting. First thing you know, they got a business deal on Sunday morning. And the very blessing that came through their obedience is converted into a curse because of their poor administration. You got to know where and why God is blessing you. The abundance is for others. It's for others. Somebody asked Rick Warren, said, is it sin to be rich? I was watching a Christian program. He said, no, no sin to be rich, just a sin to die rich. Keep it moving, keep it moving, keep it moving to a world that needs Jesus. Praise his name. Money will buy you everything but happiness. Buy you a ticket all the way to Singapore, which is as far as you can get from Dallas, Texas almost. Why? The real measure of our wealth is not what we have here, it's what we have there. Who knows you best, to tell in the local bank or the recording angel in the bank of heaven? Where are you doing the most business? Where are you doing the most business? The real measure of what our wealth would be if we lost it all, like it has happened as a result of that hurricane that hit the eastern states of our nation. Or if you don't have to go that far, just the wildfires in Colorado and California. When we store, we get no more. When you live with open hands to bless others, they're in mighty good shape for God to refill. But closed hands indicate a closed heart, and a closed heart gets no blessings from God. God is looking for men. See, God sees quality. Quality before he sees quantity. Little is much if God is in it, and much is naught if selfishly sought. Only in God's economy, 2 + 2 = 4. Arithmetic says it's not so, but God's got a way of adding to the 2 and the 2. Praise God. So it's an opportunity first to reassess our priorities. Number two, to rededicate our lives as we begin a new year. You have no guarantee that you'll see tomorrow's sunrise, neither do I. So we live with gratitude, and we live with our hearts open for God's voice. God may ask some of you to do things in this mission, even this mission challenge today, that you've never done before. I challenge you, I dare you to let God move you. See, somebody said, unless you dare to go too far, you will never know how far you can go. Unless we dare to go too far in our giving this morning, we'll not know where God can take us. Praise his wonderful, wonderful name. Oh, mama, 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 mama. Number three, we have the opportunity to express our love. Love seeks not limits, only outlets. And every day there's an outlet to share his love with someone. Love rules without a sword, has well been said, and binds without a cord. Beautiful thing about giving away love, it's never diminished by giving it away. It's a seed sown that brings a greater harvest back to you. But here it said in 1 John, hereby we perceive the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion, from him how dwelleth the love of God in him. 1 John 3, verse 18. My little children, lust not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. We have a friend born in Bolivia. God spoke to him in Cleveland, Tennessee, in that Church of God University. He said, go to one of the Muslim nations and take Bibles. So he saved all he had and bought 300 Bibles. When he got into customs, said, what's in those boxes? Open them. He told the custom agent, if you want them open, open them yourself. So he put his hand on a box of Bibles, and the power of God knocked it high upward. Scared him so he didn't touch another box. Took them all in. Glory to God. Oh, watch out, devil. We're after your kingdom. Watch out, devil. We're after your kingdom with everything within us. If God be for us, we win. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Love, gratitude, and faith are all expressed by deeds. Expressions of deed. That same brother sent me a telegram. Said, "Brother, I'm going back into this nation." And he said, "I have to go in. I don't have to come out." Do we know anything about that kind of dedication in America today? Are we expendable or only when it's convenient to sacrifice or to give? Is Jesus Christ really Lord, or he's just an acquaintance that we greet in time of vast balance or need? I'm not trying to put a gift trip on anybody, but I've got to bring, as a servant of God, I've got to bring you face to face with the reality of this life and the opportunity to have an eternal reward because of your obedience and you taking advantage of every opportunity to share in this gospel and to share the gospel around the world. Hallelujah. Oh my, when Jesus begins to bless, all hell can't stop it. He interferes. But when every time he sticks his foot into what God is doing or his nose, he ends up with a flat nose. I thought of the word in Spanish, but I couldn't think of it in English. The word give is found 816 times. There's 2,350 verses in the Bible that mention money. My. And people are so conscious of it, and the preacher dare not mention it because he becomes mercenary when the book is full of it. The way you handle things is a measuring stick of your depth in God. If things control you, then it's evident that the Lord, that Jesus is not Lord. Because when the blessing is for others, the abundance is for others. God has given you an opportunity this morning to get involved as we face a new year, to get involved in this harvest. Praise God. The word serve and service, those two words are found 1,452 times in the Bible. All great men and women of all ages have been servants and givers. William Carey opened up India. David Livingston opened up China and died at 60 years of age. They found him in a tent in Livingston, Zambia, on his knees praying at 60 years of age. Yet he won very few, but he opened up a continent for God. My, one sows, another waters, but God gives increase and God gets all the glory. Ought to get all the glory. Praise God. Taylor opened up China. Giddy went to the New Hebrides Islands. They put on his tombstone when John Giddy reached the New Hebrides, there were no Christians. When he died, there were no pagans. Oh, God, give us that kind of men and women for the harvest if we face 2013. All great men have been givers. C.T. Studd said, "If Jesus Christ be God and died for me, there's no sacrifice too big for me to make for him." When we give out of our heart, God sees the quality of our gift. And the quality of our gift determines the quality of the giver. Let me repeat that. The quality of our gift determines the quality of the giver. Yes. You can't separate the way you handle the temporal from your spiritual life. You can't put your temporal management over here and your spiritual life over here. They're one package. Jesus said, "Where your treasure is, there's your heart also." So when God just delights to take the widow's mite and multiply the little boy's lunch, the last cake of the widow woman that fed the prophet Elijah. Oh my God, just delights. Somebody sent me a story, which is a true story, happened at the turn of the last century, no, over 100 years ago now. It happened in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. A pastor went to his church that morning, found a little girl in rags, about 10 years old, crying at the door. Said, "Honey, why are you crying?" Said, "I wanted to go to Sunday school this morning, but they wouldn't let me in." So he took her and put her in. She was faithful for 2 years and died at 12 years of age, perhaps from malnutrition. Her mother was very, very poor widow woman. They found in her limited possessions a little girl's purse. Within the purse, they found a tithing envelope of the church. And the lettering of a child, she said, an offering to build another Sunday school room where more kids can come to Sunday school. And they found 57 American cents. It hit the newspaper as he shared it with the church that night. A man called him, said, "Pastor, for those, I have $250,000 for those 57 cents. And initiated something. Today, there are 3 worldwide institutions because a little girl gave what she had to get this gospel to men and women. There's Temple Church in Philadelphia, Temple University in Philadelphia, Temple Hospital in Philadelphia, all because she gave what she had. Jesus said the widow woman that gave the 2 mites in Luke 21, also in Mark 12, said she gave more than they all. I just see Peter shaking his head. Impetuous Peter said, "Lord, you know how to heal the sick. You know how to count the cash. How can that those 2 mites be worth more?" He said, "Very simple. The others gave what they didn't need. She gave all." If God is asking for sacrifice, obey Him, and you will be the better because of it this morning. Praise and honor be unto God. Number 3 or 4, we have opportunity to live as Jesus lived. How did He live? He lived to serve and He lived to give. He said, "No man takes my life. I give it," in John 10 and 18. Said, "The Son of Man came not to be ministered, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many," in Mark 10:45, also in Matthew 20. Oh my. You see, when we live just to give, we never live to lack. We never live to lack. God pours His choicest blessings on those that are anxious and nothing stick to their hands. I preached a sermon one time at Christ for the Nation, "Sticky Fingers." Some places it fit today, you know. God pours His choicest blessings on those who are anxious that nothing or no thing shall stick to their hands. Individuals who value the rainy day above the present agony of this world will get no blessings from God. Cameron Thompson said that. Some people said, "Well, brother, you've heard it before. Some people give a lot of credit, but not much cash." Others, he gave until it hurt, but he had a very low tolerance for pain. Oh, my. Said, "That man's so tight, he squeezes a dollar bill so tight. He's so stingy, and he squeezes his dollar bill so tight, it brings tears to George Washington's eyes." Oh, my. God is looking for men and women that will live this gospel and live it and live it and live it and give and give and give and give and give because of He who He is and what He's done for us. Praise His wonderful name. Our blessings cease when our giving stops. It's also said, if we don't give according to our income, we may force God to reduce our income according to our giving. I don't think you got that. I'm going to repeat it. If we don't give according to our income, we may force God to reduce our income according to our giving. Oh, my. Number 5. Oh, opportunity to enhance our eternal rewards. Do you realize where you're going to spend most of the rest of your life? Not in America. Or not in the country you're from. Not on planet Earth. You're going to spend it in 1 or 2 places. Thank God for those that made the decision this morning to spend it with us in heaven. Oh, my. I've told this before, but it fits here, so I'll tell it again. You know, truth is never old if it has a fresh anointing. Doesn't matter how many times you've heard it. If there's anointing on it, it ministers life. Hallelujah. There was a poor man, had a heart condition, very weak heart. And in the course of life, he inherited $1 million. The lawyer handling the inheritance was afraid to tell the man with a weak heart, says he's a poor man. And with a weak heart, if he learns he's a millionaire, it may kill him. So he went to the pastor, said, "Pastor, you got a man in your church, just become a millionaire, but I don't know how to tell him. I know he's got a weak heart, and I'm afraid the shock from poverty to wealth will kill him." The pastor said, don't worry, I'll break the news to him very gently. He went and said, "Deacon Jones, if you inherited $1 million, what would you do with it without hesitancy?" He said, "Oh, Pastor, I love you so much, I'd give you half of it." Then the pastor had a heart attack and fell over dead. Half a million dispatched him. Oh, my. Labor not for the meat that perishes, but that meat that endureth unto life eternal. Oh, man, Matthew 6. We're challenged. Honor the Lord with our substance, and he'll honor us. Praise his name. Labor not for the perishable merchandise of this world. Praise God. Lay not up for yourself treasures on earth. Life is too short to live for this world. Live for your treasures in heaven, where there's neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves don't break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Found in Matthew 6, 19 and 20. Treasures in heaven. Every act of love is a deposit to your account in the bank of heaven. Every sacrificial gift to his kingdom. Every time you tithe out of your heart, that's an investment. That's a deposit in your account in heaven. Every visit you make to the sick, every prayer you make for someone in need, every time you give that others can hear, even that's a deposit to your bank in heaven. How we administer God's blessings here determine our heavenly reward. Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy 6:7, "We brought nothing, no thing into this world, and it's certain that we can take no thing out, nothing out." It's just that true. You've heard me say before, and I'll repeat it again, there's no pockets in a shroud. And you've never seen a hearse pulling a U-Haul. What you do, you're giving while you're living, so you'll know where it's going. Do your giving while you're living, so you know where it's going. My. Alexander the Great died 330 years before Jesus was born. He cried because there were no more kingdoms to conquer. Died at 32 years of age. His request was, "Put my hands on my body face up." They said, "Why?" Said, "I want the world to know, though I conquered kingdoms, I had to leave this world empty-handed." What a revelation for an unregenerate man to realize that he couldn't take any of the conquered kingdoms with him. Had to leave this world empty-handed. My. So we have to labor. See, every time you invest in world missions, You're making a deposit of your own account. Salvation is free, but everything above that depends on our stewardship. Some people wish there's a back door to heaven because they'll be ashamed to go through the main gate. They've wasted their life and their resources. Something else I've observed. Some people die at 45 and are buried at 75. Say, how is that? They lose all interest in life in 45. All their initiative is there. They just exist for 30 years. Think of that. Oh, don't waste in a moment of your life. Redeeming the time, for the days are evil. Or one translation says, buying up our opportunities to bless somebody else. This is harvest time, especially so in southern Mexico. It just thrills me to see what God is doing among the poor, those dear Indian folks, many different tribes, work for anywhere from $3 to $5 a day in the fields, many of them are day laborers, and yet the gospel is jumping from village to village and ranch to ranch, like I've never seen it. Right before I left Mexico, we sent money for 81 church roofs, money from different sources. Please don't think in any way we're bragging. It's just bragging on God's faithfulness. But in the year 2009, we roofed 325 churches. In the year 2010, we roofed a church a day, or initiated a building fund for a big project. 2011, a church a day. In 2012, up to this point, we had 380. You say, where did it come from? God's hands through his people. Oh my. The prosperous churches in Mexico are helping the Indian churches in southern Mexico. One church in Guadalajara helped us roof 54 Indian churches. You roof one for $1,500, usually $1,500 to $2,000, put a tin roof on it. Somebody said, what organization they belong to? I said, what difference does it make to you? I'm sick of sectarianism. Thank God for this church and its outreach to the world. Oh, my. A group got to heaven, no one got there, and separated himself off to one side. Somebody said, Brother Peter, who's that group? He said, be quiet. He said, they think they're the only ones here. Don't bother. Oh, my, heaven's too big for one group. Heaven's too big. The blood of Jesus is too costly for us to live with a sectarian attitude. Failure to recognize the body of Christ. Those dear Indians, bless their hearts. They appreciate the help. However, God supplies it. Praise his wonderful name. Number six, we need to take advantage of our opportunity today to hasten his return. Yes. Jesus said, this gospel shall be preached. Somebody's going to preach. We're doing all we can. All retire. No desire to retire. Doing my best to refire with the same love that's kept us going all these years. He's coming back. Peter said in 2 Peter 3, we can hasten his return, doing what he wants us to do. Hasten his return. Praise God forever. I can tell you when he's coming back. Because I'm right from the words of Jesus. He'll come back when we least expect him. That's what he said. So you live expectantly. Matthew 24:14 will be fulfilled, and we're gaining ground. It's estimated that at least every hour in Mexico, this was several years ago, 400 were coming to Christ every hour in that nation, perhaps 116 million people. And the seventh opportunity is to use our faith beyond what we think we can do. We're saved by faith, kept by faith, going to heaven by faith. Ever answered prayers in response to somebody's faith. Opportunity to use our faith. I've read the Hebrews 11 so much as that page is oily from my hands. All the exploits that men and women gained through faith in God. Yes. Jericho's walls came down. Oh my. God shut up the mouths of the lions when Daniel was visiting. Took the burn out of the fire for the three Hebrew children. On and on and on and on and on. Miracle after miracle. Faith in God is still the only hope of this world. And faith in God will take you from one victory to another and from one glory to another. Hallelujah, hallelujah. F.G. Meyer said, you will never test the resources of God until you attempt the impossible. You'll never test the resource of God until you dare to go too far. See, if you're not stretching your faith, it's shrinking. If you don't do more for world missions this year than last year, you're just singing, hold the fort. There's no advance in that. Better sing, we'll work till Jesus comes. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. A faith that costs nothing, risks nothing, is worth nothing. Praises, and when faith prays for rain, she takes an umbrella. Or goes to market, she takes a basket. Somebody as well said, unless you're living on the edge, you're taking up too much space. Unless you're living on the edge, you're taking up too much space. Get out there where the action is. Get out of your comfort zone. Be a sacrificial giver today. Hallelujah. Don't neglect. Thank God for all those missionaries you have. You've shared with us for many years. But after you've done everything God told you to do for those that you love, others that we don't know perhaps, and you want to roof a church, I'd be happy to put a roof on for you. When I get back in next month, when we get back to Mexico, there'll probably be 80 or 90 applications waiting for church roofs. And so there's opportunity unlimited, but I wouldn't take a thing from those other missionaries. Let them go first. And then if still you want to get involved, then talk to us after service and give me name and address and what you want to do, and we'll get to you, or you can send it back through the church and put it on the bulletin board. Smith Wigglesworth said, God loves a man or woman of faith so much, he'll jump over a million people just to get to the one that's got it. I like it. I like it. I like it. Hallelujah. Praise God. T.L. Osborne said, faith is a title deed to property you bought sight unseen. Wow. It's yours, you just haven't seen it yet. It's also been said, faith is a link between your need and God's supply. Praise his name. Oh my, I'm hurrying. My introductions are so long. Oh, Shandai, Shandai, Shandai. My. What a way to live! You can live so close to God, it gives the devil ulcers every day. Praise God. Let him suffer some pain. Oh, vengeance is sweet when you take a prey from his hand in Jesus' name. Somebody said the faith that moves mountains always carries a pick. Hallelujah. You're part in God's part. I had one woman in Mexico. We was raising money in a hotel to buy property, buy a warehouse. She gave her whole inheritance, which was $660,000 US, or 2 million pesos when it's 3-1. Just last year, I believe it was, in one raising funds to finish a big church, the people gave 2 houses and 3 automobiles. When we really want to get involved, there's opportunity to get involved. When we really want to show God we love him more than we love things, we'll prove it by our deeds. Faith worketh by love. This ministry is a product of faith bathed in divine love on the part of the leadership for 48 years. Thank God, thank God, thank God. I repeat, are the things you're living for worth Christ dying for? To what degree is he Lord of your life as you face a new year? Lord of your things? You can't separate the temporal from the eternal. It's all one package, all one package. I teach faith like faith giving like this, and you've heard me say it before, no doubt. Obedient faith has to do what I possess. I have some real estate. God asked me for it. I give it. That's obedient faith. Have a saving, God may ask before. I'm not asking you saving. I'm just saying if God so speaks and you know God's voice. Some people are so fearful that God might ask them to make a sacrifice. They live in bondage to what they own. Don't let things become your God. Let God develop. He'll supply everything you need. And the richest man in the world only eats 3 meals a day. And sometimes he eats poorly because he has ulcers. So worrying about losing what he can't take. Obedient faith after what we possess. Creative faith has to do with what God can provide. Oh, my. Most of our giving is in the realm of creative giving. You see, how is that? We let God put in our heart a given amount, or we make a commitment to a building fund. Somewhere, I'm in a different church every Sunday almost, challenging people to give. If I can take $5,000 or $10,000 American dollars and raise 5 to 10 times that much from the people, no bank pays that kind of interest. And we've done it over and over and over. Watch what. Oh, I don't know how to get it across sometimes. I'm at a loss of words. I don't know how to get people into creative giving. How they can break the bond of fear and insecurity and get into this giving where God only knows what the ultimate length or height or ultimate answer shall be, the supply shall be. Obedient faith has to do what I have. Creative faith has to do what God can supply. He puts in my heart something not in my budget. It's something, you know, I don't mean you got to empty your bank account to move into creative giving. It just means you do what God tells you, do what you have, then you let God challenge you to believe Him, that He'll supply from sources He only knows. If I had time, I could tell you miracle after miracle after miracle of people that have given promise creatively, and God has supplied. This is Opportunity Sunday to start. Soon we'll start a new year. And this is the victory overcome of the world, even our faith in 1 John 5:4. Why people say, oh, I don't like to promise to God. I might not be able to pay. It didn't seem to bother him when he committed himself to the Ford company. Pay out the car by on time, but they're afraid to make God a promise on a monthly basis. I challenge you, write on a piece of paper today what you plan to do monthly for your missionaries this year. Let it be a challenge to you. Then begin to thank God for supplying what He's asking. And when if He speaks something to you that creates a faint, when you come to, obey Him. I've seen some people turn almost a different color when God spoke. Well, He's done me that way a few times. But when I came back to, I'd obeyed, and God came through. Oh, He's no man's debtor. God just a lie. He said the silver and gold is mine. You're only administering what God gave you. We don't own anything. Paul said we're bought with a price, the blood of Jesus. Don't live for the wrong world. Don't live to get when you can live to give. Don't live to hold when He gives you opportunity to release. Don't live for earthly security, which is insecurity at its best. There's no security outside of God. Ask me, only in the Western world do we know anything about retirement plans. Only in the Western world. And savings. Over the 6 billion people on the planet Earth live for as much, as little as a dollar a day. So appreciate, be grateful. I don't mean you gotta feel guilty. Just thank God for what He does and then be generous for what He does with you and He'll trust you with some more. Praise His name. You see, on a tomb in Mexico City, a man left his final word and testimony. He said, what I gave, I have. What I spent, I had. What I saved, I lost. That's on his tombstone in Mexico City. And how true that is. What I gave, I still have an eternity. What I spent, it was necessary, cost you to live. I had it, but it's gone. But what I saved, I left. I lost. Don't let your saving become losing accounts. Don't let what you're holding on to keep you from doing what God is telling you to do today as we take up this missionary offering. Don't forget, He said, I set before you an open door that no man can close. Let me read it to you here in Revelation chapter 3:7-8. And to the angel of the church at Philadelphia write, these things Say, he that is true, holy, he that is true, he that hath the keys of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door. Oh, God has given this nation an open door. You may not realize it. It'll come a day when the dollar dies. And everything you've saved can be just as useful as it was in the First World War. A woman had saved her money in Germany. And she took it to the bank. And they said, well, yesterday they canceled out all this money. It's worthless. All that she saved, she lost. All that she'd have put that in the kingdom, she'd still have it. Set before you an open door that no man can shut. For that has a little strength, that has kept my word and hath not denied my name. An open door. Opportunity. All opportunity is ours today to enrich our own lives, extend the kingdom of God, and see a miracle on God's part in our lives. I challenge you to share what he asked you for. Then I challenge you, let him challenge you again and make a faith promise in your heart and write it on a piece of paper, even if you don't turn it in. That this is what I want to do on a monthly basis for our mission outreach to the world, for the TV ministry in Africa that's doing such a great work for God. Father, we praise you and thank you and give you glory in Jesus' name for your help today. We thank you that you are the God of the universe. You are our Father, and all the cattle on a thousand hills belongs to you, and all the gold therein, Lord. All the minerals are yours, Lord. You own everything. Our very lives are not ours. They don't belong to us because we've been purchased by another. We've been purchased by the blood of Jesus. And so help us, Lord God, to be faithful and to reach, make a faith commitment beyond what we normally do this year to bless those in need. In the name of Jesus, I ask you, Lord, open up the avenues of blessing to these that want to do more. Give them new sources of income, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for the privilege of challenging. Thank you for the opportunities to be your hands extended, your love expressed, your heart revealed to a hurting world. Thank you, Father, that we can be a part of world harvest, not only through a television ministry, but in the local level when people are going out and witnessing in the areas that are of need. People are inviting Christ in their heart by the hundreds. Oh, thank you for that, Lord. I thank you for what this church is doing. Think of what they've meant to missions and to even our friendship through the years as we consider this our home church because of their faithful friendship and because we have total trust in the leadership. We thank you, Father, for your goodness today. Speak, Holy Spirit. Speak, Holy Spirit, today and challenge all to do more in Jesus' name. Brother Bob, how do you receive the mission giving? You pass buckets or have them come forward? You want to come up and explain it to us?
Either way.
Okay, or explain it
we
to us.
We are so
right
blessed
there.
To have Brother Myers this morning. I didn't realize he came last Sunday, and I said, we want you to speak, and he had this Sunday available, and it's Mission Sunday. But I want you to just be gracious and you give him, because the way Calvary handles things, we always bless those that come through, and we want to be able to give him a good offering this morning to help put roofs on churches. They build the walls, and they put the roof on. That's a good deal. What can we do? Just go ahead and get ready, make your check out to Calvary Cathedral. And we will, I promise you, we always do, we always will be very generous, very fair. I think we hit a Sunday like this a couple of years ago and it worked out to be a blessing that our missionary budget was met and we were able to bless Brother Meyer with a wonderful.
I guess everybody yeah. Stand where you can get to your billfold easily.
I think they can get to them. They're trying to write right now.
Reach up with one hand to praise him. Reach down with the other hand to the bottom of the
come forward or
the pocket.
Hallelujah. Please wait. We'll dismiss. We will dismiss officially. Yeah.